I wonder if that would get a reaction. And again, if you know my history, you know that in some ways it pained me to put that picture up there. I got to say before I get started, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know what it sounded like back there, but my Redeemer lives. Man, that was moving. It just sounded so good in here. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. So that, awesome. It was a great way to start the morning. It's like being at like a Van Halen concert, and Eddie Van Halen just goes off into a guitar solo, you know? It's just like it was just that awesome sitting there hearing that up front. I just could hear everybody's voices coming up at me. But anyway, so most of you probably know who this is. And one of the reasons I used his picture is because he's very relevant. I'll make the argument, though, that if they still tackled the quarterbacks like they used to, I don't know if he'd still be playing at this age, but that's another story. That's why you never settle that greatest of all time argument, because there's just too many variables, but he is considered one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. The reason I put his picture up there, not just to talk about Tom Brady, but some of what I'm going to be talking about this morning, there's some relevance to the fact that what he does in his professional life. Many of you may have heard the term game manager. I truly think of Tom Brady as one of those game managers. Potentially and probably one of the greatest coaches of all time leading him. But he has that ability to adjust and adapt. I don't remember when he first came into the league. I'm not sure. I think probably. But if you follow football, you watch football, they got these little cheater that they wear on their sleeves. If you ever watch them or look at them, they flip it open, there's a whole bunch of scribbling numbers and writing in there. And that's typically, you see it with younger quarterbacks, rookies coming in the league, because what they do is very complicated. Tom Brady, I don't recall having seen him wear one of those any time in the recent past, because he pretty much has it all dialed in. He does not need that little bit of help. Some of what we're going to be talking about this morning is going to talk about Christ and his relevance as a game manager, about the fact that people that are new to Christianity need that little extra help and need things dumbed down a little bit, a little bit of help, a little bit of cheat. I was going to actually send Andrew another picture. I don't know if anybody saw this article. Anybody see the article about the Jesus shoes? Got one there in the back. So they only made 2 dozen pair. When I first, you know how the news is these days, they make a big splash with that get your attention. And they said they sold out in the first minute. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. They only did 2 dozen pair, though. So maybe not as exciting as you would think. But it was still kind of cool because in this day and age, they made a lot of references. Yes, I know it was a marketing gimmick, but I still appreciated the fact that there was a lot of relevance there. And one of the things they mentioned was, who better for name recognition than Jesus Christ? When you think about marketing in today's society, it's all about name recognition. What star can we sign for millions and millions of dollars a year so that we can have him represent our shoe brand or our clothing line? So I thought it was kind of cool that they made that reference that Jesus Christ was all about the name recognition. Who better to promote a sneaker? And these sneakers, they actually had water shipped over from the River Jordan, and they were injected into the sole of the sneaker. If you get a chance, look it up. It's a pretty cool-looking sneaker. And they had a metal cross affixed to the sneaker, crucifix. And they sold for $1,425 a pair. Now, again, if you know anything about the sneaker world, there's some out there that sell for a lot more than... I know in the shoe world, there are... Yeah, Jimmy... Was it Jimmy Choo? Anybody help me out? Jimmy Choo? Thank you. I thought I had that right. I know some of the shoes out there get pretty pricey, but they sold for $1,425. And again, the relevance there being Matthew 14:25, referencing Christ walking on water. So a little play on things there, but again, I gave a lot of credit to the fact I thought it was kind of cool that it's nice to see sometimes, even though it was hokey, even though it was kind of cheesy, that it made a lot of references and a lot of made a lot of splash in certain circles in the fashion world. And this company does a lot of those kitschy little things, and I just thought it was great that they made use of and referenced Jesus Christ and brought that name back into mainstream news like it needs to be more often. We're going to talk about parables today. I think I did this once before, and I'm probably going to pick a few out and maybe dissect them and talk about them. And where I'm coming back around with this is the fact that when you're a rookie quarterback, when you're new to something, you need things to be simplified. You need things to be a little bit easier to understand so that you don't get lost. Picture that quarterback that has no idea how to read a defense, has no idea, you know, what route his wide receiver is running. He's going to fail. And in many ways, if a Christian is brought into our world, a non-Christian, I should say, is brought into our world in the wrong way and doesn't understand it, it could create a problem. So a parable, it's a tale about a simple common subject to illustrate a deeper moral lesson. Jesus used a lot of these examples from everyday life, used analogies. I didn't count, some of you probably know, at least 20 or more parables in the Bible. And basically, I look at it as, I don't want to lose you right off the bat, so I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to dumb it down a little bit, so to speak. Because the last thing I want to do is turn you away from Christ. That's definitely a fear that we have to be aware of when we speak to others about our lives and our Christianity and Christ in our lives. Think of the golden rule. Not a parable, per se, but do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How simple is that? We all get it. We all know what that means. So many people don't practice it. I don't every day. I've broken that rule in my life many times. Still do occasionally. But after the fact, when I think about it, man, if you just recite that before you do something you know you shouldn't be doing, do I want this coming back at me like I'm getting ready to give it to them? Yeah, that's a good one. Just recite that every once in a while when you're getting ready to cross that line. It helps, trust me. I can still remember when talking about parables that is the way I learned many things that I learned in Sunday school as a kid. And is that relevant as a child when you don't fully understand, and even to this day, when you think about some of the concepts of our Father in Christ, it's mind-boggling. It's hard to relate to some things. But as a child, I got it. I could understand these parables. It's how we learned about Christ before we could fully comprehend some of what we were being taught. And for that, I'm glad. I appreciated that. It helped me to understand a lot of things that I needed to do in life. One of the most famous ones, and one of the ones that I think about on a regular basis, is the Good Samaritan. You know, so simple, yet how often do we see that in our daily lives where someone will turn a blind eye to someone that needs help and walk right by them? So, that being said, I'm going to talk a little bit about the sower. And the reason I picked this one to talk about today was the fact that in this one, Christ is questioned on why he talks like he does and tells the stories that he does, why he uses these parables. So not only do I want to share the fact of what he was trying to get across, but I want to share his explanation for why parables were so important when he taught. Christ, one of the reasons I think was on this earth was because primarily and referenced many times in the Bible is his teaching. things could have played out a whole lot differently, but Christ would not have had the opportunity to teach like he did, and many things that he taught, and pass that along to others so that they might teach it as well. So Matthew 13, 1 and 2. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. This is a testament to the fact that Christ commanded large crowds. He, at this point, was famous. People began to know about him, began to hear about him, began to seek him out so that they could hear him and speak and hear his word. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If we think about some of those examples, which I won't get too deep into it right this minute because Christ is going to explain it to us a little bit later as I read further along. But in verse 9 here where he says, whoever has ears, let them hear. One of the things he's going to talk about is the fact, and I think about this a lot, and there's references, and I don't think I'm too out of line here when I say that when we look at the Old Testament, I think a lot of people just follow blindly. I don't think they truly understand or understood what was happening, what they were supposed to be preparing for, what they were doing, what this whole church thing was all about. I truly believe that many of the people that were teaching didn't understand and were teaching some of the wrong things, which is why I've said many times when we talk about things like this, it's not about what I'm up here saying, it's me pointing you somewhere possibly in Scripture and letting you figure it out. Don't listen to what I have to say, listen to what Christ had to say. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. You know, here he's basically saying, I talk to you differently because you get it. They have been given the secrets. They truly understand what it's all about. He's brought them to that point. They didn't just get there overnight. Keep in mind, you know, I'm sure they're not just sitting around every night, you know. Obviously, they're not watching TV, to use as a poor example. But, you know, you think about that, the time that the disciples spent with Christ, you know, what they talk about, what did they do, how did they spend their time? Just can't fathom, you know, what it must have been like. But because of that time they spent together, they got it. They understood. So Christ was able to talk to them differently than he was able to talk to everybody else. And that was his response to them as to why he used parables when he spoke. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. So if you've gotten it, if you understand it, if you get it, you're going to just keep on receiving. You're just going to keep on absorbing, bringing it. It's just going to just keep filling you up. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. I think some of the reference here, if I'm not mistaken, is talking about some of those people that heard his word, but didn't get it, didn't understand it. They saw what they needed to see, but they didn't perceive what they were seeing. They didn't understand what they were seeing. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. I think that's a danger we run into a lot. I've been at a few points in my life personally where I started to shut my eyes. I didn't hear as well. I became calloused. But here, Christ is saying, hey, listen, I understand you turned away, you're not who you used to be, but you can still turn it around and come back to me, and he'll be there for you. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Kind of forgot about that, but this is that reference I'm making to, and Christ is basically calling out a lot of people saying, you get it, you see, you hear, but there's many people, prophets, righteous people, that never got it. They never truly opened their eyes and opened their hearts to be able to truly understand what it was all about. And this is where Christ actually breaks it down and talks about what he meant. And I love the fact that being a Christian and believing in God and having Christ in your life does not have to be complicated. You don't have to be a scholar to be a Christian. You don't have to be a scholar to understand. All you need to do is open up your heart, believe, open up your ears, open up your eyes, and you can get it, and you can understand it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. So be careful where you spend your time. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once, receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. There's that danger of, yay, I get it. Go to church, I believe in God. But it never completely sets in, never sinks in. You never truly understand. And that's when you're going to wither. That's when you're going to die off. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. I think about this in my terms. Even though we are taught as Christians to go out into the world and preach to those who are unbelievers and need, you know, help the most, be careful who you spend your time with. I don't think it's in reference to those type of people when you're trying to share the word. I'm talking about the people that are around you every day that may creep into your life in certain ways that you do not want them to. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So if we're planted properly, if we put our roots where we need to put our roots, if we stand where we need to stand, if we fertilize our faith, cultivate it every once in a while, shake it up, keep it fresh, a little fertilizer, hear the word, get rejuvenated every once in a while. Hopefully we're going to go out and we're going to help produce a larger crop and bring others to Christ. Yeah, I think about, and this is one of those, I kind of got off on a little bit of a tangent. And I lied, and I wasn't watching football all night. I spent a little time. I got off on this little tangent about why Christ was here in the first place. That scripture relates a lot of things and what his purpose was and things of that nature, but it could have gone a lot differently. In many ways, God could have done what he needed to do. He could have just said, hey, here's how it's going to be. This is what you need to do. Here you go. It's on you now, guys. And again, that's one of those heavy things that I go off on these weird. But one of the things that I think I relate to really applies here. And when I talked about parables and Christ and the fact that he just, it must have been like just an awesome guy. Just can you imagine, you know, him sharing a parable with you? What kind of speaker he must have been? But I think in my mind, this is really what it was all about, because he was a teacher. You know, as we go today, think about him being here. Really, he planted that seed. He planted that first big seed for everybody. He shared that seed with the disciples so that they were able to go out. And I really think that was a big part of what it was all about as well. We all know the end result and what it did for us as far as Christians and allowed us to find forgiveness. But in the meantime, on his way there to that, his teachings, I think, really gave us so much that we could rely on and really just feed off of in our lives. As I end up this morning, if anybody has any needs of the church, please feel free to come forward, share your needs. If anyone needs to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, as always, the water is warm. Hopefully I gave you something to think on this week. And it was awesome being here this morning.